views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them city ass. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city, and they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up, and that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know the pain.
Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. Good afternoon to you. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date, January 11, 2016. It is a Monday afternoon. I hope that you all made it through the weekend without getting hurt, without getting hemmed up. All these slave catchers out there, and we know that's their primary objective is to create new slaves for the plantations of America, and also to write tickets and enforce all of these little silly codes to generate revenues for the city. So I hope none of that happened to you. I hope they didn't rob you. I hope they didn't take away your freedom, your liberty. And speaking of freedom and liberty, do black people have the freedom to quote-unquote police their own communities? And I hate to use the word police. I know the definitions of the word police, but when people use that word, because police, you know, I associate that with the police state that we live under. But do we have the right? Do we have the liberty in the United States of America to keep the peace in our communities? Meaning, stopping the violence, no matter who it's coming from, whether it's police violence or whether it is the violence by our misled youth who have this gangster rap music pumped into their brains 24/7 by radio stations with black faces but white faces on the corporations that own them. So we have a lot to deal with in our community, and you know, it just really doesn't make sense to ask the oppressor to resolve things in your community when many of our communities across the land, they're just there as the fishing rods. They're the fishing rods, but what are they fishing for? Again, I talked about slavery, and we talk about on this network consistently that slavery was never abolished. According to the 13th Amendment, you can enslave someone for another's profit if you first convict them of a crime. Well, I don't need to give y'all, the educated listeners of this station, a history lesson on the injustices of the so-called criminal justice system. So, do we have the right to end the liberty? And y'all give me just a second. Apparently, I had my audio on for the incoming calls, and I am expecting our guest to be calling in here in a couple of minutes. Is this you, Student Minister Sharif?
Yes, sir. This is he, sir.
All right. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Sharif?
Yes, Sharif Muhammad. Yes, sir.
Sharif Muhammad. All right. Well, I was just talking about giving my lead in to today's program. We were just listening to some old clips of Minister Malcolm giving some speeches about, you know, protecting the black community, as we have, you know, many of our ancestors, some of them are still with us, political prisoners, because they were out there organizing to do the same things that your organization, or the movement, I should say, the movement that you are part of, to do the very same things that our ancestors were doing and some of our political prisoners were doing. And so it's an honor, sir, to speak with you today. And because this is something that we desperately need. It's something I wholeheartedly support. It's something I talked about consistently on this station. And then you have, you know, even former Panthers saying we can't bring back the Panthers. No, you can't bring back the Panthers, just like you can't bring back Marcus Garvey's movement. But they did develop strategies, tactics, came up with solutions that were working until outside forces came in and disrupted those. Whether we want to talk about the Panthers, the FBI, COINTEL program, the damage it also did to the civil rights movement and the assassination of Martin Luther King. So we were just talking about our people out there, our listeners. Are you prepared to, like Malcolm was talking about, if it takes bloodshed to, you know, protect the innocent within our communities? And another question I want to put out there to the listeners, and I'm going to give out the telephone number in case you all have a questions or some comments you want to have, because we want to foster a dialogue and not give a lecture. But, you know, let me ask this question. What is a community? Let's break down the word, you know, community. It's like com unity. Now, we talk a lot about black unity, and that com does mean community. And so do we truly have black communities? Are some of the places we're calling black communities not, in fact, communities? Because, you know, is it just because you have a bunch of people who share a phenotype, a racial classification, living all in one place, and they may not even own the land and have no say over who comes and goes, who the landlords, as Malcolm X was talking about, past revolutions in terms of land? But, you know, if we don't own the land, if we can't control who comes and goes on the land, all right, and if we're not looking out for each other, if we let whatever elements prey upon our neighbors, can we truly say we have a community? I don't think so. Not, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think that's a community. But I think that the topic we're talking about today and these specific actions, because this is a manifestation of something we heard Minister Farrakhan speak about last year. And so, you know, for those who believe in spiritual principles, you may have heard me in the past talk about, you know, the power of words. That's why I work in media, the power of words. And you also, to create something, you had to speak the words first. And so the Minister Farrakhan spoke those words about 10,000 fearless men, and now we are starting to see the physical manifestation of that, and that is what Student Minister Sharif Muhammad will be speaking with us about. But first, let's go ahead and take a listen to the words that gave birth to this manifestation that we're going to talk about. This is Minister Farrakhan at a community rally or event, and he was. This is the first time that I heard him mention the 10,000 fearless.
I'm looking for 10,000 in the midst of a million. Listen. I'm looking for 10,000 in the midst of the million.
Million.
10,000 fearless men.
Yes,
who say death is sweeter than continued life under tyranny. Death is sweeter than to continue to live and bury our children while white folks give the killer hamburgers. Death is sweeter than watching us slaughter each other to the joy of a 400-year-old, and death is sweet. The Quran teaches persecution is worse than slaughter. Then it says, retaliation is prescribed in matters of the slain. Retaliation is a prescription from God to calm the breath of those whose children have been slain. So if the federal government will not intercede in our affairs, then we must rise up and kill those who kill us. Stop them and kill them and let them feel the pain of death that we are feeling.
Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. And we heard the words tyranny. We've been hearing that a lot, haven't we, when it comes to these white men with their rifles and talking about they're living under tyranny. We've heard Republican presidential candidates talk about mandated health care, whether you agree with it politically or not, but calling it slavery, come on, when we have real slavery. Modern day slavery, private prisons and jails across this land where human bodies are traded on Wall Street. All of that's going on today. But without further delay, I want to welcome in student minister Sharif Mohammed. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so very much and for allowing me to come on.
You're welcome, sir. This is what we're here for. This is the People's Radio Network, funded by the people so that black people can have a safe space to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. So I'm excited to speak to you because as a news reporter, obviously I keep up with current events. I pay particular attention to what's going on in the black diaspora. And, you know, as a news reporter, I asked the question, how long will it take before we see this manifestation of 10,000 fearless men and women? I don't live in an urban area. I live around hundreds of black people, but they're all relatives. And we are already, you know, taking care of our community and patrolling, you know, but we live in a rural area in North Carolina. But if I lived in the city, you know, I would be looking for something to become a part of in order to prevent some of the senseless violence and what I call slave catching that's going on in our community. So it is with excitement when I got a word from my assistant, shout out to Sister Cece, that we will be speaking with you, sir, about this movement that has started, this 10,000 fearless men and women, not just men, but women. And it's an honor to speak to you. So please tell people a little bit about yourself as much as you would like to share. And when did this, you know, what made you step up as one of the 10,000?
Thank you very much. Again, I'm Don Baluta Farrakhan, Southern Regional Representative, Student Minister over Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi. And those are the states that I'm over, and I represent the Alba Lewis Fire Tribe in those areas. And what brought me to fulfill the minister's words was, I go back to the beginning when he was in 10-10-15. He said, go back to your city and expand the LOC. And he wanted 10,000 fillers, men and women, to go out into the street and stand between the guns and our people. But first, they have to be trained, and they're going to be trained by Muslims. So we came back, came into the part of the city where they had the largest crime rate, the highest crime rate. And that's in Atlanta called the Bluff. And we were between the dome, the $2 billion dome they built, and the highest terror sales in the country, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Bluff. Now, the enemy knows that, but why can't they stop it? So we set up shop right in the middle, and we've anchored down. We got a house, we fixed it up real nice, and set up shop, and started our training every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Training, begin the training of the 10,000 sailors, male and female, and they love it. They love it. And we're training, and we'll soon be hitting the streets with them. Now, we didn't come in just set up shop and just one house. The elderly lady that's on the other side of us, she came in, painted her house up, fixed her house up. She said to us, I was praying to God, because I didn't know what I was going to do with my house because it was falling down. And she said, God sent you all. So we painted her house up real nice, put flowers in her driveway. And every over here, every Tuesday and Thursday, we feed the whole community. Hundreds line up, and we feed them. We give them coats, and sweaters. House on the right. We painted it, fixed it up nice, put flowers, printed it, made it very beautiful. The next house, the gentleman down there told us that we bought the paint his own house. We bought the paint for him. And a couple of houses on the corner, that's abandoned. There's a blight on the community. What we did, the city haven't torn them down, we took and bought plywood. And we put up a wall in front of them so you can't even see it. As we speak right now, we're soon getting ready to put a mirror up on the wall. We put a pretty mirror on the wall up and then paint it, and then we'll put a mirror on there of a black family. A husband and a wife and children. And at the top of the wall we're putting on there, we must do for ourselves or suffer the consequences. And that's what we put on that wall, and now you can't see the ugly house that was behind, 2 hours that was behind there. And we're going to do that over this whole community. But the main thing we're doing, we're training the 10,000 citizens, male and female, so we can go out into the street. We have set up conflict resolution office, or call them center, right here in the house. We have another one across town. Alvin Lewis Park, I say he wanted the conflict resolution center set up all over the country. So when our brothers, rather than getting the guns and killing each other, we have a disagreement, we come to the conflict center and sit down and let's reason with one another so we can stop this wanting killing of each other. We must do for ourselves. Stop begging others to do for us what we can unite and do for ourselves. That's what we're striving hard to do.
If I may jump in right there, and ask some questions, because that's some of the things I was thinking about last night. It is, in fact, even our poorest communities pay taxes, because when they go to that convenience store to give whoever their money, they're paying a sale tax on what they're paying. So, you know, even the working poor pay taxes, regardless of what anyone say. And those taxes go to pay for the quote-unquote law enforcement officers, not peace officers. Not people who come into the community to resolve. No, they're looking to arrest people. And, you know, too often we're seeing violence. Just, you know, in Chicago, we saw We read the story about the man whose son was home from college and who had some sort of mental problems, and I don't know if he wasn't on his medication or what, but he had a baseball bat, and the father called the police. The police came, and not only did they kill the young man, but they killed the young man's father's downstairs neighbor who answered the door for the police, and they're calling that an accident. How do you just shoot through a door not knowing what's behind that door? And so we've seen these stories over and over. We've seen videos where people call the police on their family members because, you know, their family members, we do have mental illness in our community. But the police often come in and they result to violence and they kill people. You can see the videos online. And so, but we're paying the police. The question came to me was, we're paying the police. Yes, we should be doing our own. But I think then we should also be getting a tax exemption so that we, you know, can then contribute to you know, efforts such as your own community organizations and whatnot. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that, you know, it's a representation. If we won't represent, if we're not getting our representation.
Yeah, taxation without representation.
Well, that's all over the country when it comes to us. And the only way we're going to really be able to change that, we got to have that 10,000 fearless men and women with us. That's an army. That's going to really go down to the, whatever the Justice Department and the City Council and really make a difference. But as long as we are weak and they know that the black community right now, the way it is, because they set it up that way, is weak. And we're not strong, and our politicians are not strong enough because we don't support them, so they have to be paid off by somebody else. So until we change that, and we can change it, but until we change that, it's going to be the way it is. So that's why we have to be taught that we can make a difference in our community. Right now, it's almost like it's hopeless. And that's why they planned it. And it's carrying it out. And that's why we say no. Enough is enough.
Right. And so what I was thinking, because, and we have posted the links for those who will listen to the podcast later or listening now. But if you're not listening at blacktalkradionetwork.com, just check the archives and you'll see the link, because, you know, the 10,000 Fearless Men and Women headquarters of the South is asking for funds to, one of the things that you're looking to purchase is the vehicles. I noticed y'all have y'all first community car.
Yes, sir. And that's what we want to do. We've got about our own community patrol. We got our first car, and then a brother came along. I was a pastor. He wanted to see a number. Gave us a small, short bus. That's in the shop. Matter of fact, we're getting that out today, so we can move through the community. And now, and when we go into the community, we can patrol our own community. That's what Animal Armored Park asked us to do. Patrol our own community. The people are so excited. It's about one car, like you say, you saw one car. Do you know how many hits we got on that one car? Because people are so excited. We got 385,000 hits.
Wow. And then what if each and every one gave $1?
$1. That's all. If they gave $1, our people here, we got houses all boarded up over here that we need to take them boards off and fix them up so our people can have a place to stay. Some of them sleep out on the porch. Cold as it is, we really need the support to show our people that we together can make a difference. And we need the support. We want to get more cars. We really want to help our people, man. But where our people have been mistreated so much, and they don't trust that much, but they trust Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So I'm saying to you, listen, on it, if you never wanted to support nothing black ever in your life, support us. Give us the opportunity to prove, because we prove it over here every day, that we really love our people and we sincerely helping our people. But we have to prove that we can unite, pool our resources, and do for ourselves. And then we want to deal with the economic piece. But we must have support. And we're looking for anybody that will just come and help us and just give us the support. We're willing to do the work, and we're doing that. We just need a little help financially. so we can move forward and get into our own economic development over here so we can make money on our own, just like everybody else does. Do it. We can do it. And I thank my brother Scotty for allowing me to be on this airway for a few minutes. I thank you, brother. And I thank your listening audience, because they don't do anything, but I thank them for lending their ears so they can hear what we have to say on behalf of Uncle Milton Lewis Watts.
Listeners, I want to open up the telephone lines for comments and questions. Again, our guest today is student minister Sharif Mohammed. He is the South Regional Representative to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, and a student minister at Muhammad's Mosque, number 15. We are talking about the manifestation of the 10,000 fearless men and women, headquarters of the South, manifestation of the call to action that Minister Louis Farrakhan gave in 2015. So the telephone number to get in is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. That's 549032 pound. And for those already dialed in, just hit star 6 and 1 to signal the host. You could also use the web-based flash phone from anywhere in the world to call in, as long as you got internet connection. And the studio line, that number is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. We're going to take a short station identification break. Please don't wait. We don't want to keep the student minister more time than we have to, because he's about some serious work. And, you know, so please get your comments or your questions in before we lose him for today's, the time that we have him on. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on the other side. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. And welcome back. Welcome back. So you mentioned earlier, student minister, that the people where you're working at, where you're based at in Atlanta, that's going through the training, that they're excited about it and the prospects of, you know, occupying their own communities instead of allowing the occupier to come in. And you know, we have all of these just tragic results, tragic results. So tell us about some of the people, you know, I'm not asking for their names or anything like that, but just some of the people that's going through this training and what that training looks like, because I got a picture in my mind, you know, of Huey Newton when he and Bobby Seale in 1966 started the Black Panther Party for self-defense, as it was originally known, as a community patrol, and how armed community patrol at that. But what they were doing at the time was that, you know, they went through training, learned the law, and they would shadow the police, if you will, and police the police's interactions with the people, and also informing the people of their rights, not interfering with the police in the conduct of their so-called duties, but just being there to make sure that, you know, they did not abuse and violate anyone's human rights. And so I meant to mention that because of what kind of training are they, you know, and I imagine if it's conflict resolution. So we're talking about somebody that would have a diverse set of skill sets, or you would, you know, I guess have teams. So talk about that aspect of it, if you would. Student minister, do we still have you?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay. Yes, sir. I say the main theme of our training manual is the proper handling of people.
Mm-hmm.
See, the police department needs to take this part of the training, because they're not being trained how to properly handle our people. First of all, they're afraid of our people. So when they come on the scene, it's everything about weapons. We just shoot, got drink, kill them straight out. Well, we're not taught that way. We love our people. So we're taught, how do you handle our people? A part of the training we brought in, like last week, for instance, we brought in our system, because right now, a lot of our people have mental challenges. So we brought a trained sister and a doctor. that teach how do you confront a person that's mentally challenged. So that's a part of the training. A part of the training is when a person really curse you out, how do you respond? There's a way we respond that God taught us through the Honorable Farrakhan that our people just almost melt in their hands because our part of our training. We're part of our training is martial arts, self-defense. So we have to take it to that level. We can disarm. We don't want to kill our people. So a part of our training, self-defense, mental challenges, proper handling of people. How do you talk to our people? How do you deal with our people when they have all these trauma they've been through? See, we feel that pain. So we don't come with a gun shooting attitude. We come with the proper handling of people. Just that simple. That's the training that we do. And the people love it. And people, and the kind of people we have, we have business people. We have people from college here. We have people from the high school. Then we have people from the street. And now we're also training so-called, what they call them, gangs. We call them street organizations. We have them a part of the training because we changing their attitude toward our people. So that's a diverse part of the training that we have. School teachers are here. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have.
You know, speaking of the street organizations, and that's always been a part of the work of our elders and, again, some of our political prisoners as I study our history, a struggle behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. But the street organizations, and I've seen where they, different programs where they were able to transform these young misguided brothers and sisters from, you know, their street life to even becoming involved politically, turn them into a political organization, and then, you know, enrolling them in some of the other programs, what you talked about. But again, the outside enemy always come in and try to destroy. So, you know, Neely Fuller Jr. talks about studying history to know our greatness, you know, and of course I talk about to learn what works so we don't have to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. But, you know, Mr. Fuller also talks about just being codified. And you talked about some of that codification, you know, and how we talk to our people and not be, because these are our people, so we shouldn't have any fear, you know. So, I mean, I'm feeling all of that, what you're talking about. And I'm hoping that people, you say that on, you know, social media, they share, some information about it. How many times over what? 300,000 times, something like that. But did
yes, sir, 300,000.
But did they donate a dollar? Did they donate
very
a dollar?
Very few. But like you say, if they would, just a dollar, it would help. We're gonna have to continue to teach our people that we must support ourselves. They so used to helping everybody else. They don't even think that they should help themselves. Mm-hmm. So we got to just keep teaching. We must do for ourselves. Every your listening audience, if each one of them just sent $1 into GoFundMe.com/10,000 Philly, if anyone just could send $1, www.GoFundMe.com/10,000 Philly. If you don't have that, go to donate on the PayPal, www.paypal.me/10,000 Philly. If each one of you could send a minimum $1, if you have more, please send it, but at least $1, that would help us in this cause. And that's what we're going to have to learn how to do. And I want you to help my brother radio station. If he need, I don't know if he takes donations, but if he need help for him to continue doing the work that he's doing, we got to help him too. We're going to have to learn how to help each other. So everybody that's listening, I want you to send in something to the radio station so he can continue and broaden his base to do what he want to do to help us. So don't be afraid to help each other. Please do that.
Some of the other programs, and again, you know, the callers, if you have a question, comment, don't be shy. Ask, we're not going to bite you. But just go ahead, hit *6 and 1, and we'll get you on air, because we'll only probably be on air an hour today as I'm working on some of our media reports. And thank you, brother, because we do accept donations. We are an independent black media nonprofit, and so we can keep control of our message instead of, because, you know, going back to, you know, we played Minister Farrakhan, where the enemy will take anybody's words and then use it for, you know, his purposes and twist our words. And so this, we have to be able to speak to our own people and not through, you know, other platforms and other people. So, you know, but I want to talk about some of these other programs, because, see, you're talking about food pantries. You mentioned that earlier. And these are things that organizations have done in the past. And are you aware of the history of J. Edgar Hoover, FBI director at the time, said that the Black Panther Party was the most dangerous organization in the United States, the most dangerous threat to its internal security, because they were feeding people. Yes, because they were feeding people. Because, see, when you meet the needs of the community that you serve in, then they see they don't need to depend on any government, whether that's the local government, whether that's the state government, whether that's the federal government. So, you know, again, but if we stand behind our people, learn from the mistakes. How did they destroy those organizations? They got brothers and sisters to become informers and infiltrate. And, you know, I don't want to go into a long history about how the enemy uses what we call proxy racist tools to destroy organizations from within. So we had to watch out for that, too. But, you know, like you said, we must support one another. But talk about, you know, meeting the needs, because that's a real need, feeding our people. Food pantries, we really do need more and more of, because as we see through legislation in state after state, how they cut, you know, food stamps or any other programs. When our brothers and sisters come off of their prison plantations, they are barred for life from getting food assistance. And whatnot. So that's something then we have to take care of. That's something. So talk about some of those other humanitarian services that you all provide, as well, in addition to, you know, the conflict resolution.
Yeah, the food program, you were right on it. It's so necessary. I see whole families come with their children and strollers. They come up and they say, "You all are godsend." I mean, they really need food. And they come up and we're supplying them with the food. I'm talking about full course grocery bags for the food. And they need it, and we're supplying them on Tuesday and Thursday. And they're so appreciative. My brother, I'm just telling you, and to your listeners too, I mean, the people are so appreciative, because, like you say, they've cut their food stamp off, cut some of them down. And this is a process. I don't know if you know this or not. It was told to me now that they got a policy coming out. If you don't not let them put the chip in you, food stamp holders, they're not going to allow you to even get food stamps anymore. Now, you can do the research on it, but that's what I've been informed about.
Yeah, well, so here in North Carolina, they had the chips in the driver's license. So they, you know, they had a means of tracking. Why do you need to keep track? All you need to do is track the purchases. That's all you tracking right now. Why do you need a RFID chip? But in North Carolina, they put those in the state issue IDs and driver's license. But that ain't nothing that 2 seconds in a microwave won't cure. But please continue, bro.
Yes. Yes, sir. Now, we have the counseling session. Not only the conflict resolution, but we have individual counseling. And we have tutoring set up. For anybody in the community that needs to be tutored, we offer that free. We offer it. But now we're getting ready to go into babysitting, 24-hour babysitting. We want to try to get another house so our people can go to work. They have a problem with babysitting, and then you can't trust. And we started our pilot training for young. We call them the junior brothers, who we can teach them how to get a job, how even teach them how they should talk to their parents. Because now if you listen to how children talk to their parents, totally disrespect. We have to teach them the teaching from Honorable Swarka. I told us, we have to teach our people everything. So we're in the process of doing that. We have served dinners on Friday and Saturday to try to help the Trader Coffee. Yeah, a lot of the people in this area around here, they don't have no electricity. They don't even have stoves in their house. So they can't just come and get the food from the food bank because they have nowhere to cook it. So we serve dinner on Friday and Saturday for anybody that's just hungry and don't have no food. And we do this from our nickel and dime that we put together. We don't have no government funding at all. So that's why I think if people would support us, we appreciate it. We're going to do it anyway by the grace of God. So those are some of the other activities that we're doing. An after school program for girls. We've got it separate. And these are the things that we are doing to teach our girls first how to dress. Because the market out here now, I mean, in this area, the prostitutes, we busting all that up by the grace of God. But we got to teach them another way. And that's why the economics part is so important.
So talk about the economic part.
The economic part, we have a restaurant up the street that we're trying to get now. We're going to open up the restaurant. We're going to teach. We're going to have a bakery. And we're going to pull the people from the community. Teach them how to bake. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to sell. And give them a job and an alternative. So if we can set the model up that it can be duplicated around the whole city than the country. But we're trying to make a model for them that we can do for ourselves by the grace of God. And that's what we're doing in this community. And I want to thank you. Thank you, listening audience. Thank you so very much. We got work to do.
Most certainly. Well, again, please don't hesitate to have Sister Muhammad send any updates or any announcements that you would like to get out to our national audience. Indeed, we do have a global audience, but, you know, we specifically speaking to our people behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear about, man, I've been getting good news in the past couple of weeks. I know 1 million conscious black voters and contributors adopted the removal of the exception clause from the 13th Amendment as part of their platform. We had an interview with James Clingman, and so that's just recognizing the fact that slavery was never abolished, that all of that is legal as punishment for crime, and it's not mass incarceration. That's why you have private prisons and all of that. So I was excited that they pointing that out to their, you know, members of their movement, and now I'm hearing about, you know, you all bringing together and working towards, you know, the 10,000 fearless men and women, you know, to patrol and provide for our community. So it was with great pleasure speaking to you today, Student Minister Sharif, and you be blessed, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, audience. And I'll make sure that Mr. Muhammad keep you updated so you can keep your listeners updated. And I say again, if they would please, just send a donation. We appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Love you, family. Assalamu alaikum. Peace.
Peace. All right. That was Student Minister Sharif Muhammad, Southern Regional Representative to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, there we were just speaking on Tando Radio Show, which, by the way, we'll have a live show today. They will be talking about, coincidentally, about the draft and women. And no, the United States military doesn't have a all-out draft. They have what they call a poverty draft, because that's why I went in. Not that, you know, I've never considered myself poor. We've always had food to eat, clothes to put on our back through, you know, of course, the Creator's blessing and the diligence of my parents and family members and whatnot. But we just have so many of our people out there are not able to do that. But, you know, we have people with military training, as we was talking about on Tando Radio. And so these would be perfect candidates. If you, even if you only been the ROTC in the military, and I'm speaking specifically about the service of the community patrols, and just think, you know, people being able to call, you know, the 10,000 fearless instead of calling the police, the slave catchers, who then gonna come in, and how they gonna resolve the conflict? By shooting you. I'm thinking about the little young sister in Charlotte. I haven't heard much about her case. I can't recall her name right now, but her and her girlfriend, and I'm not going to judge on that, okay, because the greater sin was her murder. But, you know, her and her girlfriend having an argument, and apparently she also had, you know, some mental problems. Not to say that people are crazy, but, you know, they have chemical imbalances, the medication. Maybe the pharmacist didn't make their medication right. You know, and it's hard to get them to calm down. But, you know, the one woman called the police to come in and to calm this the woman down. And this other woman was only like 5'3", 120-something pounds, maybe, very petite. We would call her petite. And they said she had a screwdriver in her hand or a steak knife or something like that. And these two men's response was to shoot her. Shoot her in the chest. So, you know, we do have people who have been in the military, military veterans. And, you know, you look at, again, the slave catching aspect of it. We've reported on New Abolitionist Radio how there are over 1 million veterans, U.S. veterans, not all from, you know, wars ago, like Vietnam War. We're talking about recent wars, Gulf War veterans, like I am a Gulf War veteran. Then the war after that, what they call, we'll call it the invasion, the illegal invasion of Iraq. Then Afghanistan. And we're all over the world. And Northern Africa just got through illegally overthrowing Korea. And these are the veterans you've been out there, like Malcolm was saying in the clip I was playing earlier before we came on air with this program. You go over there and you bleed for the United States, killing Vietnamese, killing Koreans, killing other black people for USA Inc. And this is how they repay you. They put you in modern day slavery. And how do they show their compassion when this is brought up in their face? Oh, we'll build a special prison for veterans only. It'll be a kinder, gentler plantation. Yeah, right. These are men who need mental, men and women who need mental, emotional healing, and recruited to be within the 10,000. So, again, thank you, Sister CC, for arranging the interview. Thank you for all of those who tuned in. I hope you'll share this podcast. But more importantly, you know, I hope you donate at least a dollar to their GoFundMe or send it through PayPal. Because we keep asking for, you know, somebody to do something. Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Why don't these families have an alternative people or that they can call that look like them to come in and deal with, you know, somebody who is having an episode, who can come in and resolve that domestic violence situation before it turned violent, or if it has turned violent, respond to it appropriately, without killing, without harming, causing further harm. Something much needed. But I was, again, thinking about this last night because I remember conversations years ago with Brother Hank. I'm not going to say his last name, but this is back on my days on the blog plantation. And he's former military, too, and we were talking about Wesley Snipes had really the real reason that they put him in prison wasn't for tax evasion, but they started looking into him after he was going to link up with some brothers and sisters in South Carolina and build a training compound, a military training compound for security. And we were talking about how is it that Eric Prince, the man who started Blackwater, called Z Services now, which I think has been bought by Monsanto. How is it that he can have a military training compound here in North Carolina and we can't have one? But that's why they went after Wesley Snipes. But see, we can't, if we fearless, we can't be worried about what they gonna come after us, and we gonna end up like Wesley Snipes. We already got political prisoners, but you know, it's what we tolerate, it's what we permit. We have all the resources we need. But we were talking about if black people even started a non-profit community patrol organization, you know, smart people out there can figure out how they would incorporate or whatnot. But then, because look, these police departments, these sheriff's departments, they're on contracts with the city. They're on contracts. When you look at it that way, that then further explains why it seems they don't work for taxpayers. I mean, really, they do, the taxpayers paying them, but these are, my point is these are independent organizations, obviously, that exist because they get contracts from the city government, the county government, or whatever to provide policing services. That's what happens when they shut down police departments, as we reported on, you know, this police department that recently got shut down on New Abolitionist Radio last week. That was one of the stories we talked about. So if black people created their own quote unquote security, let's call it conflict resolution companies, those could even be businesses where you come in and you compete for the contract that the police union has, all their union members. When we start peeling back the layers of how things really work, you know, there are many long-term plans that we need to be making. But first it starts with, you know, with one. Then another one and another one till you have 10,000 volunteers. Then if you're not able physically, whatever, maybe you live in a rural area like me, well, you know, you can give a dollar. So I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's, you know, politics aside, religions aside, we can't allow those things to divide us anymore. We can't allow decades old beefs and I got a problem with so-and-so, so I ain't going to do this or I can't support this. Yes, you can. Because we're talking about something right now being led by student minister Sharif Muhammad. And it's not so much about leaders either. It's also about, you know, people stepping up and fulfilling the role that the Creator laid out for them or they have laid out for themselves. Everybody don't have the same kind of skills, but they can contribute to the overall movement in some kind of way. Maybe they, you know, have a talent in culinary skills or food and baking already. So again, people. And when I think about the bacon piece in Charlotte, they had like the Merida company, some company that makes bread. It's a you know, pretty branded bread. But then they would sell, they had they own little stores, and it's not many of them, where they selling bread and other like donuts, stuff like that, like for $1 or $1.50. Whereas when you go to, you know, Food Lion or any other store, you're going to pay $3 or maybe even $4 for a loaf of bread. See, these are things that we could be doing. And rebuild that black infrastructure, the economic piece. Let's see. Got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. Let me see if there's any news that I'd like to... anything I need to update you on before we close out the broadcast. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Stand Up Radio Show right here on Black Talk Radio Network. of the topic for today. They will be talking about the coming draft. All these wars going on, men, and now they taking women and saying women can be in combat roles and whatnot. So if they can be that, they can be drafted into those roles and they can be cannon fodder, sacrifice to the beast, to capitalism, American imperialism, and just the worldwide system of racism and white supremacy that they spread. So, you know, I'd rather my daughters join, like I told my daughters, you're not joining the Air Force. I mean, I couldn't make them not go. They were of legal age, but, you know, they respected my opinion. Plus, I backed it up by sharing the story of PFC Lavina Johnson with them and the reports about the rampant rape and whatnot going on. I'd rather my daughters become one of these 10,000. Do your community service that way. Serve the nation within the nation. And I'm talking about the black diaspora. All right, let me see. What kind of news do we have to share? Oh, man, I forgot it. You can check most of our social media posts and the news we share. Because we reach quite a bit of people through our different social media profiles. But you can find widgets, and you know, which, of course, are links. And you could even preview some of the stories that's being shared by some of the programs on Black Talk Radio Network, as well as some of the our media partners that broadcast through the network. And so I'm just view through that. Let me see the cows with Rachel DaCosta, Racism in Canada. That will be on the network tonight. I'm on the Twitter feed. I don't got the details, but you can find the details at blacktalkradionetwork.com. If that's today, it'll probably be at 8 o'clock p.m. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Did y'all see this where you, I don't know who this guy is, but he called on this white male, called on the militias to go home and saying they're criminals or whatnot. Check out that video from the Center for Western Priorities. That's on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network. Yeah, that's 8 o'clock p.m. DeKalb's with Rachel DeKalb's Racism in Canada. Proxy racism on Facebook says Bond founder Jesse Lee Peterson resolves to continue to downplay racism and uplift white nationalism for the new year. That's a story that you can find on Proxy Racism. New Abolitionist Radio. Andy Burnham calls for G4S to be stripped of youth prison contract. So this is international news that's coming from The Guardian. G4S is a British-based private prison enslaver, and they also call themselves a security service. Again, what we've been talking about, our own security. But they provide this, and they're most of their contracts where they're, you know, employing the most people to enslave other people is in Africa. G4S, Africans enslaved by other Africans on prison plantations as prison overseers. Colonialism, isn't over, people. They still practicing it. So that's, you can find that on New Abolitionist Radio's Facebook page. Political Prisoner Radio, the weekly transition into a podcast. Might even do a video segment for Political Prisoner Radio, which was airing on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock p.m. will still air, but it just will be a pre-recorded segment. As we transition from live broadcast, unless we have a guest scheduled to open up, you know, to the listeners an opportunity to ask some of these thought leaders and experts and whatnot on different topics that we talk about, or I should say advocates for various political prisoners. But the Political Prisoner Radio weekly podcast is posted to Black Talk Radio Network. You can access it through our Facebook page, Political Prisoner Radio. Shifting Paradigms is a new program on the network. Comes on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Federal drug policy softens as whites become the face of heroin addiction is a story that you can find on their Facebook page, Shifting Paradigms. And Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, Wednesdays, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. She's sharing a story on her Facebook. Tanya Free, grand jury indicts trooper in Sandra Bland traffics, stop for perjury. I think I like the headline better that I wrote, that said thug cop was arrested. Let me see. Tando Radio Show, again, they're coming on today. And Brother Dave usually shares what he shares on his on the Tando Radio Show Facebook page, so I'll leave that to him. Let me see. Time for Awakening Media, which is Time for Awakening Radio, says California shuts down the commercial crab season indefinitely, and online racism sparks outrage. Legal action taken in South America, because indeed racism and white supremacy is a global problem that needs to be eradicated. All right, folks, one last check of the phone lines, and we don't have any questions or comments. Thank you all for joining us today. We'll be back on air tomorrow, Tuesday, January the 12th. Black Talk Radio News, right here on Black Talk Radio Network. Recognize the fact that you do live behind some enemy lines, and they're creating casualties every day, kidnapping new slaves for the modern day slave plantations called prisons. So to prevent these things, in addition to what our guest was speaking about, providing our own community programs and self-help. In addition, when you're out there in enemy territory with slave catchers on the prowl, you need to develop codification, that battlefield awareness, to where you'll be aware of what the speed limit is. So it's only 65. So I'm not going to do 85 down the highway while smoking a blunt. See, we can't be doing that kind of stuff. We have to be more codified than that. We have to take responsibility for our own actions in making the slave catcher's job easier. So you have to develop these things and modify your behavior so that you don't become such an easy victim. There's no 100% foolproof way to prevent victims and casualties, but at least we can be proactive and decrease the number. Till tomorrow, peace and blessings to all.
So we say, we always say to black people about it, that they can do anything they want to do. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them sinners. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, die good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. We said that about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.